This is James Lane, and I'm the Green Party candidate for District 11 in New York. And I'm here today in downtown Brooklyn supporting the 15L movement. Right now, they're the richest executives in this country are saying that they can't afford to pay 15L when what they make in a single day is what they're paying their workers for a whole year. And it's just not right. We need to make some serious changes in this country. I'm running for a Green New Deal. I want to create public jobs at a living wage. We think this can be done in this country if we just stop the greed. This cycle of greed that goes on in this country has to end today. And that's why I'm here supporting this movement.
My name's Chasman Kevich. We're just fighting for workers' wages out here. All workers, fast food workers, construction workers, laundry workers, all workers. Workers are getting screwed in this country. We can't have that. We got to stick together, get better wages, better living conditions, better life. Too many rich people not sharing the wealth, and we're just working hard. We want our fair share. That's all.
Some of the protesters outside a McDonald's in Brooklyn, fast food workers in 230 cities are walking off the job as part of the Fight for $15 and a Union campaign, a push for a $15 an hour minimum wage. Organizers are calling it the largest ever mobilization of underpaid workers. And that does it for our broadcast. Special thanks to Hani Massoud for that report. By the way, we're looking to hire a social media producer, a full-time job. Visit our website at democracynow.org for details. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Aaron Monte, Nermeen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Massoud. I'm Amy Goodman. Our website's democracynow.org. Thanks so much for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8:01. Coming up next is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio with our host, Paul Rowland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of What the Festival, a music and arts festival June 19th through the 22nd at the Wolf Run Ranch in Dufour, Oregon. What the Festival features over 80 electronic and dance artists on four large stages, including artists such as Big Gigantic, Odessa, Rob Garza of Thievery Corporation, Toki Monsta, Thomas Jacks, Tropical Pool Party, Keys and Crates, and the Funk Hunters with Charlie Tuna of Jurassic 5. Again, that's the What the Festival, June 19th through the 22nd at the Wolf Run Ranch in Dufour, Oregon, just 90 miles east of Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
It's good to be back here. It's good to see all you again. Take it, dude.
April 15th is Joey Ramone Day, so join me, Marcel, from 8 to 10 p.m. as we celebrate 2 hours of nothing but the Ramones. That's right, so grab a slice of pizza, turn your stereo up real loud, and keep it right here to 90.7 FM as we celebrate Joey Ramone Day from 8 to 10 p.m. on Wednesday, April 15th.
Let's go!
Tune in to KBOO Monday, April 27th through Friday, May 2nd from noon to 4, and Saturday and Sunday, May 2nd and 3rd from noon to 5 p.m. to hear our live broadcast from the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, brought to you by our friends and colleagues at WWOZ in New Orleans. We'll have access to 5 stages of fantastic traditional and contemporary New Orleans jazz and blues, brass bands, and interviews and commentary by the best that WWOZ has to offer. That's the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, starting Monday, April 27th. The weekdays, we'll broadcast it from noon to 4 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday, May 2nd and 3rd, we'll broadcast the festival from noon to 5 p.m., here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Gazelle Natural Fiber Clothing and Full Circle Resale, featuring women's clothing, jewelry, and accessories with a focus on natural fibers since 1984. Gazelle and Full Circle Resale are both located at the corner of Northeast 41st and Fremont, and at GazelleNaturalFiberClothing.com.
What?
And good morning. Thank you to Sesame Street for that wonderful wake-up song here on a Wednesday morning in Portland Town, Inner Southeast, at our fine studios. And we have a program to look at the theft of public water resources by multinational corporate interests, specifically Nestle Corporation, already with not such a great corporate reputation, which we'll talk about. And my name's Paul Rowan. This is Wednesday Talk Radio here on KBOO Community Radio. And got some strange noises in my headphones here. I don't know what that is, but coming off the phone line, says my engineer. Apparently we've got some weird stuff happening on our Telos boxes. So I have a couple guests, one live in the studio, Matthew Bristow from BARC, the Forest Protection Group, looking at Mount Hood, also looking at water resources in the Mount Hood area. Morning, Matthew.
Morning.
And I've got Bob Saunders on the phone from Sacramento with the Crunch Nestle Alliance, which has been ramping up a campaign in the middle of a historic drought where people are being asked, individuals are being asked to curb their shower and personal water use, while large corporate agricultural and water bottling interests like Nestle continue to pump large amounts out of springs and aquifers. Bob, are you with us? Oh, maybe we are having... Oh, we're having problems with our phone line. That's a not great for talk radio here, especially since... It is a call-in show. Boy, if our phones aren't working, Matthew, we're going to have to be having a lengthy conversation.
Well, I've had many a lengthy conversation with you, Paul.
All right.
Think we can handle it.
Fair enough, fair enough. I'm not sure how our listeners will take it. But so let's set the stage here. Boy, God, I got so many articles here in front of me, one of which was about the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife's recent decision. Well, you must know about that. I had it right in front of me here. So what the heck's going on? So they just decided. So there's like some sort of switch that there's a spring there, Oxbow Springs, over near in Cascade Locks. There's a fish hatchery that has been getting that spring water, and now for some reason they want to switch and feed the fish hatchery with city well water, and allow this major international corporation, Nestle, which is pumping water out of drought-stricken California, has been driven out of Maine, has had conflicts in Michigan, Florida, all over the place with local communities who don't appreciate, paying high water prices and having a huge multinational corporation take either their municipal water or spring water, which they could use, or their underground water, which is increasingly a threatened resource. So So Nestle would be allowed to take this spring water, and then the fish hatchery would use this well water, which is apparently of lesser quality. That's what the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife has basically signed off on this.
Yes, so this is a new variation. It's a new sneaky attempt at something that's been going on for quite a while. So where I've been working at BARC, the watchdog from Mount Hood National Forest, we've actually been successfully keeping Nestle out of the gorge for 6 years now.
Yeah, it started in 2008, this attempt.
There's what's called the Keep Nestle Out of the Gorge Coalition, which has members such as AFSCME, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, Food and Water Watch. There's a local Food and Water Watch that together we've been using legal actions to protest various attempts at exchanging and transferring the public water, which is located near Cascade Locks, not actually in or owned by Cascade Locks. It's actually from Mount Hood National Forest, and the spring pops out like just outside the boundary. And yeah, it does go to an endangered fish hatchery currently. Throughout the years, they've been testing the use of tap water from wells in Cascade Locks, and they've had various problems accidentally killing off a lot of fish with like forgetting to dechlorinate, you know, things like that. And you know, the thing is that what happened recently, what's on the news, and well, actually you'll still be seeing news stories this week on it, is that people figured out, people as in Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, Cascade Locks, and Nestle, figured out that there's a way that they can fast track things and shave time off. And seriously, they have found out a way to cut out public interest consideration. So that was one of the big things. It's like, well, this is public water. It's currently owned by the state of Oregon, Oregonians. It's being managed in our interest by state agency, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, overseen by Oregon Water Resources Department. So the thing is that, yeah, they just figured out like, oh, well, if we just exchange the water right instead of the water like we were talking about before, somehow it doesn't make sense, but somehow they can cut out the public interest review.
Let me just briefly interrupt you because I think we have our guest from Sacramento back. Bob Saunders, are you there? I guess he's... Oh, no, he can hear us, but we can't hear him. Well, Bob, hi anyway. I apologize for these technical difficulties coming at a bad time for talk radio, but we will persevere. And so, okay, so yeah, I found this article. The Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, this is just what you said, has agreed to trade its water rights at Oxbow Springs to pave the way for a Nestle bottled water plant in Cascade Locks. Cascade Locks City Administrator Gordon Zimmerman said the city and the state wildlife agency jointly submitted paperwork Friday morning, as last Friday, to initiate a water rights cross transfer with the state trading spring water for the city's well water. The Columbia River Gorge City will then pass the spring water on to Nestle, which will bottle and sell it. They say will. It's not a done deal yet. Mm-hmm. Nestle's proposal to bottle 100 million gallons of Oxbow Springs water annually for sale throughout the Northwest has been controversial, with multiple environmental organizations, public health groups, and unions protesting the deal. The plan is complicated. Cascade Locks doesn't own the right to draw water from Oxbow Springs. Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife does, and use it to feed a fish hatchery. Seems like a good use of water. So in order to sell spring water to Nestle, Cascade Locks must first get access to the spring. So, and it goes on. I can't remember where I got this article. Possibly the Portland Tribune. So, I guess we still don't have our guest back yet. Nope, we're working on it. So, Bob, let me just briefly say Bob Saunders is part of this Crunch Nestle Alliance, which has been going on for, I don't know, about a year, because they're drawing millions of gallons out of the out of an aquifer, I believe, at Sacramento, while the state is in just an unprecedented historic, at least unprecedented as far as since, you know, Western civilization has been there anyway, drought. And Not only that, they're also taking many tens or hundreds of millions of gallons out of an area around the San Bernardino National Forest and bottling that as well. And apparently the permit for that ran out 27 years ago, I just read. And so the Forest Service said, oh, well, yeah, we're going to put that to the top of our list now of looking into it, is what they said. It's going to take a couple years to reassess that permit. So the Desert Sun has been doing some really good investigative reporting on this if you want to look into it. There's a lot of resources. There's a lot of coalitions that have risen up around the Nestle campaign. I'll give you some more information about that. There's a stopnestlewaters.org. Because let me just step back a step further. It's actually Nestle Waters is the corporation. It's a branch of the Nestle Corporation. The Nestle is the largest food corporation on planet Earth. Nestle Waters is the largest water bottling corporation in the United States and also in Canada. And they've got five operations going on in the state of California, five bottling plants. I don't have the exact number. Here are some of the brands. Let me just get these in. I'll get them in later on the show. You can make up your own mind. I don't buy bottled water myself. Never, ever. Maybe I've done it once. I don't know, when I was in desperate need. But I think we can avoid doing that. I think it's a good thing. Aquapana, Arrowhead, Deer Park, Ice Mountain, Nestle, Nestle Pure Life, Ozarka, Perrier, they bought Perrier, Poland Spring, Resource, San Pellegrino, an Italian brand they bought a number of years ago, Sweet Leaf, Trade Winds, Zephyr Hills, Get Delivery. Those are the brands. I think it's all of them. There might be a couple more. So I will put those up on our website at kboo.fm, Wednesday Talk Radio. And I guess we don't have our guest back from California. Sorry about that, Bob.
It's interesting about all those bottled water brands you just listed. So I'm sure a lot of the listeners will recall that this is a relatively new concept of taking what we all were getting out of the tap and, you know, making you afraid of the tap water, making you think that this bottled water is better. So it's really, really crucial to take back that tap and you know, appreciate what you have, make better what you have, you know. And the thing is the commons are really, really crucial. And it's not just for the people, it's for the fish, you know, it's for, you know, quite a bit more than that. And, you know, there's just it's really impressive how there's been this real uprising of people. And yeah, the Crunch Nestle Alliance, I mean, they're out there with, like, you know, torches and pitchforks and...
Well, yeah, I don't know if people heard of it. That was a month ago. They actually shut down. They blocked the entrance, the two entrances to the plant around mid-March there in Sacramento. Yeah, they had pitchforks and torches. That was going back to the old populist days of popular rebellion. So, and they actually shut it down for a good part of the day or the day. And I understand, I was talking to Bob on the phone yesterday, they're calling for an international day of action, because he said they've been having calls from, you know, it's a Swiss company, so it's based in Switzerland. Having calls from Swiss television, French media. You know, he put his number out there on the internet, and that's how I found him.
Yeah, this is the world's largest food and beverage corporation, and they currently do not have a water bottling plant in the Cascadian bioregion. So this Pacific Northwest, and if you go to, like, Nestle Waters Pacific Northwest, there is no Pacific Northwest bottling plant. That's this attempt to in the Columbia River Gorge National Scenic Area.
And they got stopped in Washington State. Yep. I forget the name of the town?
I think that was Human Claw, if I recall.
Yeah, they've been stopped a number of places. It's never a done deal. We should ban that psychology from our heads, the idea that, you know, just because of these mega corporations, they can just do whatever they want and push us around.
Yeah, where I work at Bark, when we had the decision to take on, you know, this Nestle water bottling plant, it was a kind of just like a matter of course, matter of fact. based on our mission statement. And at that time, we had just successfully defeated TransCanada and PGE from putting a pipeline of a 47-mile permanent clear-cut corridor for a liquefied natural gas infrastructure piece, doing all the things you need to do to get that done. And so we kind of had this winner's complex, and we were like, yeah, heck yeah, we'll do that, you know? And yeah, I mean, it's been working, but it's really, really inspiring to see this groundswell of support and these waves keep coming, and then you ride these waves of basically like Nestle hatred and like love of water. And you know, it's truly something I'm thankful to be a part of with so many awesome, amazing people.
And then these waves, and then they crest, and then you think you've won, and then it just rears its ugly head once again.
Yeah.
With the active participation of public agencies, which
really good point. This would be the first time that a state agency gave away public water rights for Nestle. So that, you know, talk about
are we gonna let them do that here? You know, in the reach of our KBOO
and
it's airwaves.
It's not that they didn't know this was controversial. Seriously, been working with a team of generally about 15 people out in the field, getting the information and education out there, as well as collecting and submitting official public comment. We're seriously about to have reached 100,000 to mostly the governor, the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, the commission of the ODFW, and just on and on, state legislatures, various other elected officials and decision makers. And, you know, from day one, Governor Kate Brown knew this was controversial. We and from the whole entire time of her term so far, she's known this is really important. You have the power. You're in control of the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. You can make sure that that director does not submit that application without checking with you. In fact, you can say, don't do it. But what happened is that, well, that didn't happen. And so her choice of inaction is what brought us to where we're at now. And it's not too late, but that, you know, it's really serious. And that's kind of what happened right there.
Has she made any public statements on this whole issue?
Strangely, no. And I mean, if you go to like Governor Kate Brown's Facebook page, it's like, it's just, that's what it's all about. Everyone, every like post to page, every post they make, it's just, oh yeah, what about Nestle, huh? What about that, huh?
So, you know, if you hear that, listeners, she has a Facebook page. You can like her and you can join the conversation on Facebook. And she must have a phone number too.
Yeah. The phone number for Governor Kate Brown, there's 503-378-4582. That's 503-378-4582.
And I would give our number, but it seems like our phone system isn't working. I apologize, listeners, because this is a critical issue. I'm sure there's some people listening out there in Hood River area, the Gorge area, maybe Cascade Locks.
Most definitely.
That would like to participate in this crucial conversation that affects you, but we're working on it. I don't know if our engineer is going to come in. But anyway, stay tuned nevertheless. This is an important conversation, and we will continue to talk about this here on KBOO. So talk a little bit more about this. Is there going to be like a public comment process for this?
There have been various public comment processes. They're of varying worth of engaging with, but it's definitely been an ongoing conversation, both with the people and the state agencies. So I've personally and with other people gone door to door and been stationed out in places all through the gorge, working in Hood River, Cascade Locks, Corbett, a whole lot in Portland, all over many other surrounding areas. And this is one of the things there are very, very, very few people that support bringing Nestle Waters in and giving away public water rights. And this is something that you know, it's really, really peculiar how this, something so important to so many people, could be disregarded so completely. And Well, that, and that's why
that's kind of not all that uncommon. Yeah, Matthew, you should know that.
Yeah,
you're working on national forest issues also.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Anyway, I'm speaking with Matthew Bristow. You're the canvas director, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
At BARC. And just briefly, for people who may not already know, because, you know, people from BARC are often on KBOO talking about relevant issues in the National Forest and other things. So BARC has been around for a while now, yeah? 10 years or 15 years?
Just over 15 years. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I've been with them for about just over 10. And yeah, The focus is on the public lands of predominantly Mount Hood National Forest, but also some surrounding federal land administered by the Bureau of Land Management. Generally, we engage with the U.S. Forest Service from the Department of Agriculture. And our website is bark-out.org. That's B-A-R-K hyphen symbol O-U-T dot O-R-G. And you can see all the projects that we've been working on and are working on. And if you want to see in person, there's a free field trip at least once a month where we go out to the places we're talking about, including the Nestle waterfalling proposal site, various other areas where timber sales are being proposed. And that's the most of Mountain National Forest is a watershed for someone. And so that's why, you know, really identifying the opportunities to address the restoration, such as removing old logging roads that are deteriorating into the streams and affecting the, you know, the water quality with sedimentation, as well as affecting fish passage. And overall, it's just a really worthwhile endeavor. So I encourage you to check that out some more.
And you got into this other issue, which is a sort of peripheral, but obviously related, in terms of fish concerns.
Yeah, I was actually speaking with a city councilor in Cascade Locks who is publicly opposing what's going on with trying to give away the public water for Nestle. And one of the things that she mentioned, and this is Councilor Busdiker, Deanna, she was addressing that. She was like, well, you know, so the fish, They have a sense of smell, and then they go back to where they originated by following that smell. And so if you're switching and messing that up by, instead of now it's not the spring water, it's like well water from somewhere else, which is well water, it's just not the same to a fish, I suppose, like the scent of it. And have they tested that, you know, like, and there's, you know, crickets, so like no one was able to say that they've really studied that well. And people are just like, you know, what about the jobs? What about those jobs, you know? And you know, it's like, yeah, you know, jobs are great. We all, you know, want to have the opportunity for a job, but that just can't be the thing that just like turns off all conversation. And, you know, even according to Nestle, they're like at best, maybe 50 jobs. And they, even according to Nestle, are saying like, we're not going to guarantee that they go to local people. And they're real upfront, and you know, and these are jobs that are extremely dangerous. They have, I mean, that's one of the reasons the labor unions are in opposing this. Like the water bottling plant jobs are, you can look at the Bureau of Labor and Industry statistics, and just not a great place to work. The noise, the repetition, Nestle being such a bad actor with a really well established reputation. That's the other thing is, you can look at bottling plants all over the place, and you can see what happens when Nestle gets in. And
yeah, let's mention a few of those. I mentioned the stopnestlewaters.org website. In Maine, Nestle is repeatedly sued 5 times in county, and I'm not actually sure what the date of this posting was. The tiny rural town of Fryeburg in Maine, a clear attempt to litigate the tiny town into insolvency, winning the right to tap the local aquifer by default. Why? Because the town's planning commission and a majority of its citizens said no to Nestle's proposed 24/7 water pumping station, which returned little economic value to the town and its accompanying traffic, noise, and pollution. Michigan, In Michigan, Nestle, despite repeatedly proclaiming themselves good corporate neighbors who would never damage watershed, were ordered to reduce pumping after course repeatedly found Nestle was damaging a local watershed.
Yeah, we actually flew in an activist from that town in Michigan named Terry Schweier, and brought her to Cascade Locks to like go around and like talk to people and say, hey buyer beware, you know, be careful, do you know what you're getting into, have you set aside a big money pot for like when you have to deal with the legal issues with Nestle? And they're like, oh yeah, no, maybe we should think about that. They're like, yeah, maybe we should think about that, you know. And it's just we had a big rally then, also down in Portland across from the city hall. And
and you're having a protest tomorrow, right?
Yeah, tomorrow morning we're going to meet on the east side Hawthorne Bridge area, you know, east side Esplanade. And that'll be a bridge action for visibility. And we're going to have a sign making get together at the BARC offices nearby. And if you want to go to the sign making party, that's at 537 Southeast Ash Street. And that's just a couple blocks south of Burnside on the east side.
A couple blocks from KBOO.
And at that address, it'll be up on the second floor. The whole second floor will be full of activity. And bring snacks and if you want to bring poster board, paints, markers, sign banners, things if you've already made, that kind of thing.
And meet other like-minded folks at 5 p.m. to 7 this evening,
yep.
Or perhaps later at 537 Southeast Ash. And didn't y'all have a big fire there?
That was just across the street the Osborne building above the east end.
So you had to move out of there.
Yeah, it's a temporary location just across the street. We will be moving again. Just to be clear, the rally tomorrow morning is at 7 a.m.
7 a.m., bright and early,
yeah.
At the east side of the Hawthorne Bridge. And again, this is Wednesday Talk Radio. My name's Paul Rowland, and I'm speaking with Matthew Bristow of BARC, the Mount Hood Forest Watchdog Group here locally in Portland. And we are having problems with our phone lines. As you know, if you've tried to get through, we are not able to have you... your voice is on the air. Apparently our engineer can hear you, so you can talk to him, but you can't talk to me, unfortunately. We apologize for that. We're working on it. It doesn't look like
looks like maybe they'll relay some questions over here.
Oh, maybe they could relay some questions. That would be the idea. Now we're thinking.
One more thing about the rally tomorrow morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. is to wear blue. If you like, that's always nice to like have this conglomeration of color.
Is that like water, blue water?
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, we did this other rally where everyone wore red and made one of those big no symbols and put the Nestle letters in the middle. And tonight the BARC office is ADA accessible. So if you have any questions, you can call 503-331-0374. That's 503-331-0374.
That's the number for BARC?
Yeah.
And, so let's see. I was talking about, and I actually on some other websites, I found some other things. The McLeod. Mm. What's happening with, they didn't end up building that, right? Another one in Northern California. My brother worked there at the Nature Conservancy plant. The McLeod River is just a gorgeous, gorgeous place. And they wanted to put this massive bottling plant right there. And they beat it back. And I don't know where that's at now. I know they've, in Florida, there's been people trying to stop. So stopnestlewaters.org is the coalition. And we were going to have Bob Saunders from the Crunch Nestle Alliance in California on. Unfortunately, we're having technical difficulties. I apologize to him and everybody else for that. And they are planning another action. We talked about their action in mid-March to shut down the Sacramento plant. They're talking about another one in Sacramento in front of Governor Brown's residence, June 12th, I believe.
Another Governor Brown.
Another Governor Brown, right. Yes, indeed. That's Governor Jerry Brown, who, as we mentioned, has imposed these water consumption limitations, but for a light industry and personal consumers, and they've kind of let off the hook Nestle Corporation, seemingly. They say they're following that, they're having, there's the problem is Nestle's not really reporting in some of these plants their exact water use. It's hard to get in for, especially that one up in the desert, or where San Bernardino National Forest, which is a very complicated issue. There's a native tribe in the middle of it. You can look into that. There's a lot of information. All this is on the web, of course. And it looks like we're still not...
So some of the other things that people can do is contact groups that you're involved with and get them involved in this. And just think of everything and anything you can do and do that. You know, it's not like you have to pick one thing and just then call it done. You know, sure, go to the BARC website and send the auto emails to the legislators and the governor. But just keep being creative and think like, oh, well, what else can I do? You know, if you're part of a group that wants to support this, you know, you can actually help coordinate that with Food and Water Watch and BARC. And so, for example, like Cascadia Wildlands and Alliance for Democracy, they've also signed on to supporting our efforts again. And we've circulated a letter in the past that you can find that archived. In fact, there's quite a bit archived because, again, this has been at least a six-year effort here in the Pacific Northwest, and so, you know, there's just a fair amount of things that you can do, and just call up and just ask questions and express your opinion. And looks like we have a question coming in here.
Let's see. Yeah, so we are getting some questions written by our faithful engineer Steve. So if you do want to do it that way. A listener says a state agency giving away water is ironic, considering that a rancher, Gary Harrington, in Eagle Point, Oregon, is going to jail for capturing rainwater on his ranch. That does seem like a deep irony. Indeed. I think I read something about that. Unfortunately, if he was the one calling in, I'm really sorry we weren't able to get that call, or whoever did call that in. So you can call in 503-231-8187 and give your questions to Steve, and he will relay them to me. Keep him busy here. I just want to go to another issue, where a public agency has... by some accounts, failed in their responsibility to safeguard our public values and resources and environment. The Portland Planning and Sustainability Commission last week flipped their vote at the last minute, or changed one of their votes. It was 5-5, deadlocked on this proposed Pembina propane terminal up in North Portland, they went into the back room and proposed a whole bunch of amendments, and one person changed their vote. I wish I had their name right in front of me just to, you know, put that out there. But so at the end of a marathon 6-hour public hearing, the City of Portland Planning and Sustainability Commission approved a code amendment that paves the way for a proposed propane export terminal on the Columbia River. The commission heard overwhelming testimony opposing the project proposed by Canada-based Pembina. Neighborhood association leaders, health professionals, faith leaders, environmentalists, and nearby residents explained why the city should not make a special accommodation, which is allowing this pipeline across a special environmental sensitive area. By amending the city's conservation habitat zone to make way for a dangerous propane mega terminal on the Columbia River. Portland's local longshore union also opposes the project. So it's going to go to the city council. They do have a date. I believe that is April 30, if I'm not mistaken. And so people are encouraged to call Mayor Charlie Hales, Commissioner Nick Fish, Commissioner Amanda Fritz, Commissioner Steve Novick, Commissioner Dan Saltzman. You can find all their numbers I also leave this at the front desk, 503-231-8032. After this program, you can ask them. Anyone with an internet access can find that out easily. The Portland City Council will have the final say on this Pembina Code Amendment. With a positive recommendation from the Planning and Sustainability Commission, it's critical that the City Council hear from you. This is from the Columbia Riverkeeper article on their website, also copied on the Portland Rising Tide. We don't know how the pipeline for the City Council decision, actually, I think they wrote this before they got the date, which I believe is April 30th. Someone can call in and tell Steve, and he will relay that to me. So that's another local issue that needs people's attention amongst so many others. And again, let me just read off the names of these Nestle water products. Because, you know, I mean, wouldn't make a huge dent in their bottom line if everybody who hears my voice stops buying all these bottled waters. But, you know, tell a friend, put on Facebook, all that. Aquapana, Arrowhead, Deer Park, Ice Mountain, Nesty, Nestle Pure Life, Ozarka, Perrier, Poland Spring, Resource, San Pellegrino, Sweet Leaf, Trade Winds, Zephyr Hills, Get Delivery. And these come from various places. Arrowhead comes from San Bernardino Mountains, as I mentioned. It's a very controversial thing right now with this drought going on in California. And I noticed I was at this rally in Salem a couple months ago. I'll even say who it was, because, you know, I was there because I was supporting the cause, and certainly not a condemnation or a harsh criticism of the organizers of this event or their intentions or anything. But, you know, it was a 15 Now rally in Salem, and they very nicely provided lunches, bag lunches for people. And they provided cases of bottled water. I can't remember the brand, but there's a decent chance it was one of these, because I think every single one of these that I mentioned producing in the United States is number one in their region. Every single Arrowhead, Deer Park, Ice Mountain, Ozarka, Poland Springs, Zephyr Hills, Nestle Pure Life, they're all number one regionally in terms of sales. So Nestle, you know, as I said, they're the major bottled water company in the United States and Canada. And the more we talk about this, so anyway, I'm just saying, if you're going to have an event, try to avoid using bottled water to begin with, because it's usually the easy way out. It's because, you know, it is easier, it's more convenient, but maybe we have to do things that are somewhat less convenient to make a change here. And certainly consider not purchasing a Nestle. But, you know, I remember back in the 70s and 80s when the boycott against Nestle for their infant formula was just supported by all the liberals and radicals and progressives, whoever, mm-hmm. because they were, you know, helping to kill babies in the third world for this, because they were mixed. They didn't have the proper instructions there. So they're mixing this water with bad water. The proportions were, you know.
It's a true story. You can definitely verify it.
Yeah. And there's a massive boycott of Nestle. So everybody was talking about
Nestle.
I think
it's one of the longest running boycotts, actually, against Nestle. That's still underway. Actually, it looks like a news story just came in on Hood River News. So this today, this is the ODFW approving water rights swap with Cascade Locks. Looks like it's a fairly long and comprehensive article. So we'll get that posted to the BARC Facebook, and you can just do news searches for just like Nestle Cascade Locks, and, you know, do that periodically. But also, speaking of the BARC Facebook, we've been posting videos, and what we'd like you to do is to send in your no Nestle videos. Just say, like, why do you say no to Nestle? You know, just like a quick, you know, you take your phone, take a video and say, I say no to Nestle because, and then just press send, you know, get that over to us, however it's convenient for you. And we'll just keep that going. And it's really important to show that there's strong community support for the community water. And Yeah, this Hood River News article, as I'm scanning it, it's covering a lot about how the intention is really to bypass the public process, because it was like they're saying it was like just taking too long because there were these like legal actions that were slowing it down and they just like wanted to get it in, and they Nestle already planned to be operating right now, so the story is really clear that the intention is to permanently give away the water right and to do it in a way that can bypass the public's interest.
So I'm speaking with Matthew Bristow. That's the voice you just heard. He's a canvas director for BARC, the forest watchdog group locally here in Portland. And they're having a protest tomorrow morning about this very issue that we're talking about, the Cascade Locks proposed Nestle bottling plant using pure spring water from Oxbow Springs, which has been for many, many years feeding with water the fish hatchery there, which I visited for the first time ever during a spawning season last fall, and it was just amazing.
Nice.
Just amazing. Just a beautiful place there, and lots of fishies, mm-hmm. happy fishies in the water. Fishy, I guess fishies is not the right, because they're kind of big. They're fish. We're talking about that issue this morning. And so the protest starts at 7 a.m. at the east side of the Hawthorne Bridge, and a sign-making party this afternoon.
Yeah, tonight from 5 to 7.
At 537 Southeast Ash, that's the BARC temporary offices across from where they tragically had a fire in their building last year and had to move out. It was such a nice office there.
Yeah, I really like that office. Yeah, our offices were okay, but it was a historic building, and in the back end of it, because, I mean, everyone had to vacate because there was something that happened there.
Mm-hmm. So, I have another comment from a listener, a question, actually. If we call the governor, is there a specific action we need to ask her to take?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I would say to specifically request that the applications are revoked. So basically, what there's actually three things that could be done. I would say that there's the regional solutions team and getting them focused on the things that can be done that people support, rather than trying to get the things done that people don't support. It's a really simple thing. But
regional solutions team of the governor's office?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll pull up another thing. I mean, mainly it's like communicating, don't do this. Stop it. And
stop the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife's agreement to trade its water rights at Oxbow Springs, which would allow the Nestle bottled water plant in Cascade Locks. I guess that's the statement. She does have the power to do that, right?
Yes.
As governor?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, what she could even do is if she felt that like the director of ODFW did this without consulting and did the wrong thing, but she could actually appoint a new director. I mean, that's usually what happens when a new governor comes in, is they appoint new people to the executive branch that will carry out their plans. And strangely, Kate Brown did not do that, and has left everybody that Kitzhaber had there. Mm-hmm. And so things are just carrying forward on momentum. And so that there are basically, let's see. Oh, the number again is 503 for Governor Brown, 378-4582. You can mention whatever you want. Here's another thing that's really important to consider. So we're talking about putting a proposal to put a bottling plant in the National Scenic Area of the Columbia River Gorge. What that would mean is that there would be, according to Nestle, 200 truck trips a day on Interstate 84. So I don't know, you've possibly gone on I-84 along the Columbia River before.
Oh yeah.
And you know how like it can get super windy, and the just like it's it, it can I mean, the semi trucks, think about your experience driving on 84. Maybe it's a pleasant experience all the time, but now think about 200 semi trucks a day. More, you know, that's what we're talking about. So say, like, I don't want that to happen. I think this is a bad idea. Cascade Locks has been making a lot of progress with new economic opportunities. You know, you can call up Gordon Zimmerman at Cascade Locks and he'll say, like, yeah, you know, we're really happy about this new business and that new business. And, you know, because Nestle's been kept out for 6 years, other things, there's been space to figure out other things. And then you go over to Hood River, very close by. They have one of the best economies in the state. They're just a thriving, bustling town right now. And it's not because of Nestle, you know. I mean, it's a lot of things, like, you know, but just, you know, be open-minded and, you know, just, but specifically it's, you know, have Governor Brown realize that this application resulting in the permanent loss of Oxbow Springs water, excluding public interest review, that's just not acceptable. It needs to be pulled back. It can be done at any time, and that needs to be done now.
Okay, and coming up this morning on KBOO at 9, human rights lawyer Gabriela Rivera and Kelsey Alford Jones of the Guatemalan Human Rights Commission USA will talk about the legacy of sexual violence in Guatemala. 9:30, we'll hear Anti-War Radio with Scott Horton, who interviews veteran journalist Seymour Hersh about his recent article about revisiting the My Lai massacre 47 years after his report revealing it. And if you just tuned in, I'm speaking with Matthew Bristow of BARC, the local forest activist group. And we're talking about the decision by the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife to allow its water rights at Oxbow Springs near Cascade Locks for well water in order to allow a Nestle bottled water plant there. We had another comment from a listener. Nestle's sells enough bottles to fill the Twin Towers every year if they were still standing. It's a, I guess, an ironic comment. $4 billion they make every year, Nestle Waters Corporation. And where does all that plastic go? That's another question. My gosh, the island of plastic in the Pacific. I mean, where is it all going to end? We know where it all ends. It ends up in the ocean. It ends up in landfills. It ends up being burned. It's just a travesty. We got to stop all this madness. And what about the BPA that leaches from the bottles to poison us is another question comment from a listener. Another one, Bull Run has to be inspected for pathogens annually. Will this apply to Nestle's too? There's a question for you. And finally, Nestle's is owned by a law firm that works for the Koch brothers. Did you know that?
I didn't know specifically. I mean, I know they literally have armies of lawyers.
Like, yes. So whether they're owned by a law firm, that's a comment from a listener. I just let it stand on its own. I actually didn't get that far into my research into Nestle. We only have a few minutes left. Once again, apologies for people not being able to get through, and apologies to Bob Saunders, who we will have to have back on at this point since we weren't able. He was involved in Occupy Sacramento, involved in this new group, Crunch Nestle Alliance. You can look them up. Again, there's a plans for a international coordinated protest against Nestle. They've got these water bottling plants all over the darn place. And there's a increasing, there's ongoing resistance to that. I mentioned some of them. Several towns in Maine have objected to the business practices of Poland Spring and his parent company, Nestle. Ice Mountain has been part of the Great Lakes water use debate, in which diversion of the basin's water for export has been controversial. In 2004, a Michigan court ordered pumping of sanctuary springs to cease. The town of Sterling, Massachusetts is attempting to prevent Nestle from pumping spring water from conservation-restricted town land. I mean, this is a tailor-made for a worldwide anti-corporate effort. I mean, if there isn't a better poster child for that happening, I can't think of one.
Yeah, you got it. And Yeah, so I wanted to address some of those questions a little more directly. I appreciated that. So yeah, the plastic, you know, these are super concerns. This is like the quality of the water with the being sitting in, you know, in the plastic, and what's leaching into that, and is that better than tap water? You know, those are great questions. And I think that as far as monitoring, so municipal water supplies are, that's through the Environmental Protection Agency, where like bottled water would be through the Food and Drug Administration. And I understand that there's like different qualities, different reviews and different processes, and that your tap water would be the better bet on that. So let's see, here's another phone number. So you might ask yourself, as I've heard people ask, wait, the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, what are they doing in the bottled water business? Great question. Here's their phone number, 503-947-6044. And that's Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. That's the director's phone number, 503-947-6044. And I remember the last time we gave out this number, they ended up, so like when you called, it would say like, thanks for calling Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. If you're calling about the Nestle bottling plant, press 7. If you're trying to call someone else, press 1. So-and-so, press 2.
Well, that's an initial impact. And then when enough people call, then maybe we'll just shut down their phone bank there. So, again, you can call in with maybe one last question. Our engineer Steve and also Kate Welch, who's helping out in there, are ferrying messages in. Something happened with our phone system, which makes talk radio rather interesting and challenging. So we're using a different method of communication other than direct talk this morning. My name is Paul Rowland. You are listening to KBOO Community Radio. And we're just got a few minutes to wrap up. So where is this going? This campaign is really just ramping up again after it was initially defeated after many, many years. And I guess all the forces are coming back together. People are meeting, strategizing, protesting.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's in process now. Yeah, and so just stay tuned. I'd say sign up for the newsletters with all these groups that are getting involved, like Food and Water Watch, and
so how about out in the gorge? Is there a group out specifically, or a point person out there that our listeners out there can get in touch with?
Let's see. Yeah, I know that there are some concerned citizens that have been getting involved among themselves. And off the top of my head, I don't have that contact, but you can call the BARC office at the 503-331-0374. And the address for the website is bark-out.org. And you can also see the Facebook connection link there, where you can send us your No Nestle videos.
Or you can call in to Steve if you are a point person. And right now, we'll get it out over the air. Otherwise, I'll put that up again. And I promise I will do that. There's a couple times I haven't put up the links I mentioned on the KBOO website. But this time I for sure will. That's kboo.fm. And we've got one more. Let's see, ODFW, what does that stand for? Actually, they thought it was SW, so we're not doing our job properly. Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, ODFW, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. And it's another listener says it's the consumer's responsibility to A, recycle bottles, B, not buy water in bottles. I would go for B over A myself, since recycling of plastic is a very dicey prospect. Most of it had been going over to China, I believe, and I believe they kind of stopped accepting at a certain point because they had too much, or I read something about that. So it's kind of an uncertain thing. So just say no.
Yeah, it's, yeah, don't buy water bottles. If you come across them, you know, it happens. They're ubiquitous. Recycle them. And C, it's your responsibility to speak up and protect your water. You know, you don't, it's not just like, oh, well, we know if we handle the plastic bottles, like, you know, good green consumers, it's going to be okay. Like, no, you can actually just like skip that whole process and you can stop it from even happening. And
just say no to Nestle, as they're doing all over the world, trying to do, sometimes successfully, sometimes it takes a little longer. And we are just about out of time. So once again, thank you very much, Matthew.
Thank you, Paul.
And again, you got a couple events coming up. That's this afternoon and tomorrow, right?
Oh, yeah. And many more to come. And yeah, stay tuned to KBOO. KBOO is an excellent community resource. This is your clearinghouse for just everything possible. You just keep listening, have that KBOO on all the time, anytime you get a chance. And yeah, you can also go to keepnestleout.wordpress.com. That's the Keep Nestle Out of the Gorge Coalition page. That would be keepnestleout, all one word, .wordpress.com.
And there we go. That's what I was waiting for. That's a great Sesame Street song. God, I love this song. Thanks, Matthew.
Thanks, Paul.
All right.
Ice and snow. It is 9 a.m. and you do have it tuned to KBOO in Portland. And as Paul told you a few minutes ago, at 9, we are going to have a program with human rights lawyer Gabriela Rivera and Kelsey Alfu Jones of the Guatemalan Human Rights Commission, USA, about the legacy of sexual violence in Guatemala, that is, political perspectives. And the second part of Political Perspectives at 9:30 is Anti-War Radio with Scott Horton, who interviews veteran journalist Seymour Hersh about his recent article about revisiting